Hello. Ah, now that I've got your attention, I'd like a quick word about how Cambridge 105 Radio is funded. Our job is to give a voice to those groups who may not otherwise be heard. That may be our support for local music or the charity of the month. You're wanting to know how you can help, aren't you? Well, you can support our advertisers. And when you use their services, say you heard about them on Cambridge 105 Radio. And you can make a donation. It all goes towards our upkeep. We're eco-friendly, but we do have a bit of an electricity bill. Visit cambridge105.co.uk and click on the donate button. And thank you for listening.
And I'm joined in the studio now by Donna Talbot. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mark.
So you're from the Arthur Rank Hospice Charity, is that right?
That's correct. Really proud to work there. Very privileged to work with a fabulous team there too.
And you've come today to talk about your summer fete. But before we get on to that, let's just talk a little bit about the charity itself. So what is the Arthur Rank Hospice Charity?
So we're a charity that supports adults who are living with a life-limiting illness. And for us, it's about ensuring that they have excellent care during that period of diagnosis. And that might be at diagnosis right through to the end of life, but also offering much needed support to their family or their carers. So it's a very holistic approach that we take to our care.
I guess in terms of life limiting, that's not something that particularly discriminates. Anyone could be susceptible to something like this, so you must see a wide variety of people come under your care.
Absolutely. I mean, naturally, we do see a lot of patients who do have cancer, but increasingly we're seeing people with MND and Parkinson's, other illnesses, dementia increasingly as well, whereby it will be a condition that naturally shortens somebody's life. So that's a really complex area that we now work in, but we understand that to be able to meet the needs of our community, our care needs to evolve, and therefore we will keep learning and specialising in different aspects of different illnesses as they become more prominent in our area, but also as they evolve so that we can evolve with them too.
In terms of actually fundraising then, is that a significant challenge in terms of just keeping the charity going on an annual basis?
Absolutely. Fundraising is a key part to what we do. It costs us around £7.45 million every year to run the services. And that's a whole array of services which are available at the hospice, but also across the county as well. So to be able to do that, we have to really raise the funds through a multitude of ways. Primarily, the NHS give us a contribution, which is very, very gratefully received. But to enable us to meet the needs of that wider breadth of care that we now need to deliver, we do a lot of fundraising in the community. So that might be events, that might be challenges, it might be activities involving local businesses. We have a number of flagship events that we host every year. So it does illustrate that huge combination of activities that we're doing. And obviously, as a charity, like many in the UK, we really do benefit from gifts in wills. So we're extremely fortunate and very touched when somebody thinks to leave us a gift in their will.
But then also the kind of charity events which you're going to be hosting this Saturday with your Summer Fete. So how did the idea for Summer Fete come about? It feels like a fairly obvious summer thing, but how did it come about?
So for us, as I understand it, I've been with the charity just over 5 years now. And as I understand it, we used to have a Summer Fete at the original Arthur Rank Hospice on the Brookfields Hospital site, and it was very popular. So since moving to the new hospice, we've got this fabulous building that we're now enjoying. And it's really lovely to be able to revisit that opportunity. And so this will be our first ever Summer Fete. Although we've been at the hospice nearly 2 years now, it'll be the first one we've hosted in Shelford Bottom, and we're really, really excited about it.
And you seem to have picked the exact right period of weather for it.
Could we have been luckier? It has been absolutely amazing. I noticed that they've said that there's some rain looming tomorrow, but Saturday's looking really, really good. So we're ever hopeful that actually it's going to be a glorious afternoon, and all of the people that come along to enjoy the day can enjoy it in really, really comfortable environment with lovely gardens to look at as they're walking around too.
Now, there is just one slight elephant in the room that's come up this week in the shape of a Swedish football team who happen to be playing our own football team just around the time that your fete is going to be ending.
Indeed. We were all watching with bated breath on Tuesday evening. We were really, really hopeful that England would get through. Naturally, we all want England to get through, but we did appreciate it will have an effect on our fete on Saturday. Our fete takes place from 1 till 4, and the match is obviously planned for 3 o'clock, so we know that lots of people will be enjoying the match. But we completely understand understand that, and we just would love to welcome anyone, whatever length of time they could spend with us. If they can pop in, that's wonderful. And if they're not able to join us this year, maybe they'll join us at one of the many other events that we host throughout the year.
I have to say, as someone who can barely stand the tension of watching an England match, this sounds like an ideal opportunity to get away from it rather than to have to sit and endure it. But maybe I'm in the minority there. But at least you have a two-hour head start on the football. So what kind of things will you be having on Saturday?
So we've got lots going on Saturday. We have got our barbecue. So Barker's Brothers have donated the burgers and sausages that will be on offer. We've always got to have a barbecue at a fete, haven't you? We've also got activities for the children, so soft play. We've got music. We've got live music from our own hospital. Choir, which is really great. We have a jazz band, which is fabulous as well, because I think that live music always adds something special, doesn't it, to an event. So we're really pleased to have them on board too.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to know you have a hospice choir, one of the many things I'm guessing that must spring out of charity work like this.
Indeed, we're really fortunate. We work with a wonderful lady called Julie Bristow, and she was really keen to help us form a choir, and it is made up of whoever really wants to join: staff members, bereaved individuals, patients if they so wish as well. And it's a really lovely thing to hear going through the hospice. And they do some wonderful, wonderful tracks, I have to say.
Maybe a CD in the future for them, if they seem to be very, very well received, these kind of charity fundraising things. So.
Do you think potentially a Christmas number one, maybe?
Oh, I think we can dream about that, definitely. But it seems odd to be talking about that on the Summer Faints Day, I guess. So maybe we'll leave that for a couple of months.
Indeed.
So sometimes coming to these events, particularly around Cambridge, can be a bit of a nightmare on a weekend. How can people actually get to the fete on Saturday?
Well, that's the beauty of the hospice. We're located in a fabulous place at Shelford Bottom. So we're directly alongside the Bayburn Park and Ride. So that is the park and ride that we ask our visitors to use when they visit the hospice. It's completely free of charge. Obviously, patients and their families are very welcome to use the dedicated hospice car park site, and it's important that we keep those spaces remain free for those. So come along, whether you're arriving by car or by bus into the city, join us on the park and ride, and then you'll see there's a dedicated footpath from the park and ride back through to the hospice, so you'll be able to find us easily.
And how did you first get involved in this yourself?
So my story is quite unusual in that I actually previously worked at a football club. So my role was events and conferencing, marketing. I really, really enjoyed the role at the football club. But whilst I was there, I also was a volunteer for another hospice in Suffolk. And I really enjoyed that experience of volunteering and giving something back to people in my community. And I think for me, it was really enlightening to see the work that the hospice was doing. And I loved my job within the football world, and I'm privileged to have enjoyed that work. I think for now, I just see that I find the role so rewarding, and I just meet equally wonderful people every day. I think it gives you a real purpose, a real spring in your step about why you do what you do every day. And I think for us, we couldn't be prouder having such a wonderful facility and working amongst such a passionate and enthusiastic team. I think a lot of people would assume that working at a hospice is really quite upsetting, and day to day it can be quite draining, and many aspects for the clinical team obviously are, because it's really heavy work that they're doing. They're working with families tirelessly, and they get to know those families really, really well, but they never lose that enthusiasm. They're absolutely passionate about ensuring that the patient and their family gets the best possible care, and therefore that makes my job of going out and raising funds as easy as it can be, because we know that the fabulous work's been delivered in the hospice and across the community, and I'm proud to go out there and ask people if they'll support us.
And I guess events like this are then an opportunity for some of those families and friends, supporters, to actually get together and meet each other as well.
Absolutely. We find it's lovely to see people coming back into the hospice. The bistro is open on a daily basis, and it's really nice having a public area where people can come normally anyway. Obviously, this weekend it will have a slightly different focus, so we won't have the lovely range of food available at lunchtime as we would normally, but we'll have a fabulous barbecue. But increasingly, our Sunday lunches, our Saturday brunches, and lunches during the week are proving really popular. And what's lovely is that you see volunteers mixing with patients, families, you see members of our staff, their families coming in, and you see people in the community who just want to come and give back to the hospice in some way. And in whatever way, through our charity shops, through supporting our bistro, through coming to our hairdressers, all of these things are helping us to fund our care. So we welcome people to come through. And I think a lot of people are pleasantly surprised when they come through to see that it's actually a really warm, welcoming and friendly place. And it is really full of life. And I know that sounds ironic, but actually that's a really great bonus for us, in that we understand the crucial work that goes on there. And we know that for many families, coming to the hospice will be a really tough time. But we hope that they feel well supported, and we'll be there for them as long as they need us.
I guess in some cases that can be quite a long-term relationship then as well. So good to form that bond, but also critical in some ways to have that relationship there.
Mm, indeed. And I think that's another really interesting aspect of hospice care, that a lot of people assume it is only end of life. And actually, so much of what we do is preparing people for the end of life, but also ensuring that we enhance life as it is to the best of our ability. So focusing on what people can do, what people want to achieve, and all of that positivity helps put people in a really good place. And I think whilst we can't change the final chapter of these lives, we can make it as comfortable for them and their families. And quite often we can broach some of those really complicated conversations, those difficult subjects that people don't feel comfortable to mention to one another. We can talk about how you approach those, how you convey your messages to people, and also how you do it in a way that is comfortable for your family. And we recognise, like every care package that we deliver to our patients, every person is an individual and no two patients are ever the same. Everything is tailored specifically to them, their needs. And I think that's really what sets us aside as a hospice.
So given that you've stated quite a hefty challenge in terms of fundraising each year, are there any other exciting plans you can tell us about coming up?
Oh, there's always something going on. We have a bubble rush taking place in July, which is taking place in Huntingdon. And then in September, we're back here in Cambridge to do the Bridge the Gap walk. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Mark, but it's a fabulous opportunity to see behind the doors of the colleges around here in the city. This year, it will feature five colleges en route. And the gardens are just absolutely fabulous. We meander through the gardens, and we have this year as a checkpoint on the route, the Museum of Zoology. And we're thrilled to have that on there. It's been closed, as you may be aware, for the last 5 years or so. And so having just reopened, we think that's going to be a real highlight for people. The event's a really family-orientated event. Adults, there's an early bird discount that's available until next weekend. And then after that, we do have a slightly higher price, and then again, a pay on the day price, but children are free at whatever point you book. And we think that's really crucial. We love getting the generations together for that one. And that tends to welcome around 2,000 people every year. So it's a really, really good community feel. And this year, that will benefit the Arthur Rank Hospice and Romsey Mill equally. So it's a great event for people to come and find out more about their city.
Fantastic. And so if people like to find out more about the Arthur Rank Hospice charity, where can they go to do that?
So the easiest way to do it nowadays, as often is the case, it is on our website. Our website is really simple, ARHC, standing for Arthur Rank Hospice Charity, .org.uk. We also have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and LinkedIn. And we find people really enjoy communicating with us by those means as well. So if you're on any social media, do have a look for us. Start liking, retweeting, just looking at our lovely posts on Instagram. We'd really encourage you to get involved and see what things you can share. For us, it's about dispelling the myths around hospice care. And the more people that have awareness about the breadth of the offering that we can provide to our patients, the more people we can engage with. And hopefully we can start to break down some of that fear and just ensure that patients who desperately need our care are confident to access it and know where to come, because that's always the crucial thing for us, knowing who to speak to and what advice they need from us.
I guess that first step, actually coming into your care, is maybe sometimes the most difficult step to take.
Absolutely. I think for a lot of people, you hear that you've been referred to a hospice and naturally that fills you with worry. But I think a lot of people, and there's some lovely case studies on our website and some lovely stories that we've shared by video, who actually said it was the beginning. You know, for them, it enabled them to start a new chapter of their life and focus on things differently. And you're completely right. I think for a lot of people, that gives them some real confidence, and it gives them back something that they've missed, you know, that element of control, that thing that the illness has taken away from them. They can have ownership again and they can start to regain some of that opportunity to enjoy life. And, you know, we encourage that. You must enjoy life for however long that is.
And we would encourage people to come along and enjoy your fate on Saturday as well, football notwithstanding.
Absolutely, indeed. And I think for us, we just can't help thank enough all the people who have taken part in preparing for this particular event. We've got a fabulous team in the office, Chloe and Beck, who've done a brilliant job. We've had an amazing volunteer, Stella, in this week, who's helped us. We've had people like Martin and Co, who've had the estate agent boards out advertising the fate for us. And really, it is illustrative of what a community effort it is and how appreciative everybody is of the work of the Arthur Rank. So we'd love to be there to continue delivering our care, and we hope that our community will get behind us and help us raise some more funds to allow us to do that.
I'm sure they will. Donna, thank you much for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you.